You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Desperate for changing, starving for truth. Closer to where I started, we're chasing after you. I'm falling even more in love with you.
9 minutes after nine on a Monday. Slowing it down for all you couples out there. Joining me now is my favorite live broadcaster on Facebook, Mike Musselman. Gunner, what's up? How are
hey.
You?
Hey. What's going on?
Nothing, man. First of all, how did you discover live broadcasting on Facebook?
It was by accident one day. I was on Facebook, and I see this button that says live, and I was like, what's this? I've never seen this before. So I click it, and then it goes like, what does it say? It says live, and then it says kind of camera, and then there's another little button that says go live. You push that, and it goes like 3, 2, 1. And then I was doing it, and then all of a sudden I started seeing people come on and going, hey, what's going on? And I was like, oh, this is live, like right now. You know, and we're like, yeah, no shit.
So
that's how I learned.
Okay, so then normally, though, your wife is the subject of most of your live broadcasts, yes? Because I've seen, I don't know, for whatever reason, I get a message every time you broadcast live. I'll be sitting there doing whatever, and all of a sudden I get this little thing on my phone. Mike Musselman is now broadcasting live. And I remember the first time I hit it, I was like, well, this will be interesting. And I hit it, cool. And it was. So what defines, I mean, do you have a threshold of what, you know, what it, when you go live or?
No, just whatever.
Just whatever.
You know, most of the time I don't even think about it. So, you know, until like yesterday when the storm came, I was like, I went out there and I looked at it and then I took a picture of it. And then when I took the picture, it closed out and I saw, I was like, oh, you know what? I can go live. And I did.
I can go. And he did. No, and it was good. It was good. So,
yeah, Mike, it was a cool storm.
Yeah, Mike, well done. So again, bottom line, was there tornadic activity there yesterday, or was it just bad? Was it watch, warning? Talk to me.
We were in a severe thunderstorm warning. There was no tornado watch, but I mean, that's just meteorologists. So, I mean, if you bank your day on what the meteorologist says, you're a fool. I mean, that is nothing like, that's something like, it's no different than doing the chicken feet, you know, voodoo stuff and trying to figure out what's going on. You know, that's all that stuff is. You know, I don't care if they have pulsating see-through Doppler radar, state-of-the-art. That doesn't mean shit.
They're still not wrong. They're still not right often enough for you to take it to the bank?
Yeah, I mean, what they do is, you know, a lot of times, they got a thermometer outside, and they got windows, and then they look and go, okay, today's going to be hot and partly cloudy. Well, no shit, Sherlock. I can see that.
Wait a minute. What about all the gauges and the computer programs and things like that? And
it's modeling simulation, and you're trying to model simulate what Mother Earth is going to do. Mother Nature is going to do to you.
You don't hold them. You don't
with that.
You don't hold that against them. I mean, it is not. It's not an easy thing to model. Yes,
Mac. I mean, but it's like,
ooh.
You know, okay. You know, again, you watch the news. So if you go to like your usually news station's got like the 7-day forecast. You know, and all they have is a computer that spits this out based on right now the current the jet stream currents and what's coming this way, and then, you know, model simulation of, you know, as this front passes, it's going to pick up moisture, and, you know, da, da, da. And like I said, most of the time they're wrong. You know, and every once in a while they get something close to being right. It's like a median or a media. What's that? What's the word? What's a medium? A medium. That's it. You know, that sits there and puts your hand out and says, okay, this is your lifeline. you have brothers, you know, and you're like, yeah. You have, more than one brother, you know, sure. You know, and it's like you drive an automobile. Well, okay. You have a job, obviously. I'm dressed and, you know, shaven. And, you know, it's like this stupid shit, man. Or they do the, I've noticed someone in your life has died. If you ask, you know, again, 90% of the population at our age, someone has died in our family. You know, so... You know, it's that same thing. Oh, I see that you've had some tragedy in your life. Someone close to you has died. Yeah. Okay. So, really impressed me. Tell me what day they died on, what city they died on, and what was their name.
Look, you would get thrown out of the palm reader's office so quick. You would kill the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. And I know, because I'd tell it right like this. I'd walk in, I'd sit down and be quiet, and just sit there at the table. And they'd say, sir, what brings you in here today? Well, you're the damn median. You tell me. You should have known I was here. You should know you have how many appointments every day when you wake up and who they are and what we're going to talk about if you're this person. Tell me why I'm here today. I'd get kicked out, by the way.
Yeah, you were so getting your ass thrown out of there. Oh, one of you, get out of here right now.
Yes.
Okay, here's a little bit of trivia for you. Have you ever gone to a palm reader?
Yeah, one.
Was alcohol involved in it?
I think maybe. Yes, maybe.
Maybe. Was it?
It was $20.
Where?
And it was probably the best $20 in California at like one of the fairs, like at the Del Mar Fair, I think it was downtown.
Wow.
With some buddies, yeah, and it was kind of like this. And I played her. Oh my god, I had so much fun with her. And I was like, you know, as soon as, because all they do is they come out with these general questions. You know, like, and then once they you bite, then they follow that path down, right? I bit right off the bat.
Yeah.
And then I played this whole thing out, and I forgot, but it was just stupid, you know. And then at the end, I was, you know, kind of chuckling, and she's looking at me, and I said, I've just been bullshitting, lady. None of this is what you've been saying is true. And, you know, everybody, and then we got asked to leave. Like, whatever.
But it was worth the $20. No doubt.
Yeah, it was worth $20 because this lady, man, I had her going, you know, like, and I'm playing it up like, what? How did you know that? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Only two people in the whole world know that, and one's dead. And the other one's standing in front of you. Oh. Yeah.
That's not good, man. That is not good. Now, could you tell me what is the temperature in the Gulf of Mexico? Okay. Now, right in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. Okay?
Like in the water?
In the water, in the middle. So if you draw a line south from New Orleans, straight south, okay?
Yep.
And then you draw a line from, let's say...
Yucatan Peninsula? Or no, from like Cuba?
Cuba? Let's just say, well, Miami, okay? So Miami's east, so you draw a line from Miami going west, and then you would draw a line from Mexico... It would be like the same latitude as Monterey, but you get to the Mexican coast and you draw a line. So where those three lines would meet, all right, is smack in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. What do you think is the water temperature right now?
The water temperature?
The water
the air temperature.
No. Water temperature.
I would say it's about 85 degrees.
You asshole. How did you...
What? I'm dead serious. What?
Shut up.
No, I'm serious.
You know why?
You know what the water temperature is okay. down in Florida?
Okay, hold on.
85 degrees.
Hold on.
You know what the water temperature is up in Louisiana? 85 degrees. Corpus Christi, Texas?
It's
85 degrees.
85 degrees in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, which is crazy.
It is?
Exactly.
I should be a weatherman.
You should be. That was a nice swag. It's 87 up kind of towards Pensacola and Nolens. And then if you go down south of Cuba, it is 83, which is amazing because in the land of California, San Francisco off the coast. Okay, now this will be even harder. San Francisco off the coast, okay. Mike, what is it?
It off the coast of San Francisco, I would say it's 62.
56.
Okay.
All right. Now, you're a diver, okay? Diver man here.
I almost
gave away your email. Not intentionally. Okay, off the coast of San Diego, what is it?
65.
66. Very good, Mike. I'm impressed.
Okay. It usually hovers like 66, 65.
Off the coast of San Clemente, what is it?
66.
72. That's pretty,
really?
Yeah, that's pretty warm. Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they have a north drag going, and you got some of that warm bath water. Now, if you go well,
it's a nuclear power plant. Wait a second, it's the discharge from the nuclear power plant. It's not right. Oh, they shut that down.
Hey, I remember we were working after we came back from Afghanistan. We're in San Onofre, which is Camp Horno, okay, northern part of Camp Pendleton. And all of a sudden, you hear on
sirens.
Yeah, the siren. And everybody kind of, like, doesn't react at first. And then people start going, where's that siren coming from? Like, I don't know, off in the distance. Is that San Clemente? Because there's a nuclear...
Well, they need to test it, like, every Wednesday, Wednesday of the month.
Every Tuesday, wasn't it Tuesday at 1 o'clock, I thought. Something like that.
Not every Tuesday.
Like no. Tuesday. The first Tuesday of the month, like at 2 o'clock or something like that. It was something like that you knew. Well, this was like at like 2:15 in the afternoon, right, on a non-traditional day. You're like, uh-oh. And they had let some steam, they had to let some steam out. Like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Is Jack going to grow?
Radioactive steam,
yeah.
Right?
Is Jack, well, they don't really tell you. They don't publicize that part. Oh, what do you mean? What kind of steam? Well, the nuclear reactor was starting to overheat, and we had to, like, decrease pressure. Wait, does that mean there was radiation in the steam? Yes, there was radiation.
Yeah.
Well,
we used to dive for lobsters. So the nuclear power water discharge came straight out where the nuclear power plant is, straight out into the ocean, probably 500, 600 yards.
Yes.
Straight out into the ocean, and we used to dive on that outlet.
Yes, and?
And because the water, and there'd be lobsters everywhere.
They like the nukes?
So we'd dive. No, they just like that. A lot of fish are brought into that warm water, you know, and I think it was like in the wintertime they'd dive there, and the lobsters would be all hanging around by that discharge grate. It's like going to the supermarket sometimes. Pick them up.
The lobster supermarket. The next question. The water temperature off Seattle. What do you think that is, Mike?
Seattle? That's probably cold.
That would okay. So I'm talking about outside of Puget Sound. Okay.
52.
57.
Oh, okay.
57. All right. Any place, are you curious about water temp anywhere?
Nope.
Where else have you dived in your life?
Oh, man. I dove up in England, Scapa Flow up north.
Scapa.
That's a hard dive, man. That was cold water. Scapa Flow, so north of Scotland.
How about Hawaii? You're not a Hawaiian marine,
yep.
though. You've dove off Hawaii?
No, I've dove in Hawaii, though. Yeah.
All right. Water temperature in Hawaii is what?
72.
80.
it's always really perfect on there.
Yeah.
I've seen all over Micronesia, so Indonesia, Singapore, Thailand, Palau, Trunk Lagoon, Okinawa.
Okinawa. What's the water temperature off Okinawa?
That's usually, well, okay, so this is, if it's on the eastern side of the island, it's actually cooler than the western side. The western side is usually warmer. So I would say the eastern side was probably maybe 70, 65. And then the other side would be probably 5 degrees warmer sometimes.
Emailer. This is from Ohio, man, who went out to San Diego to for his daughter to marry the Camo. Just sent me a picture of being in line at Las Cuantas Milpas.
Oh, so yeah, did he enjoy it? Oh yeah, he did. He said he was good.
He said he loved it.
Remember? So yeah, man, did he get extra food? I wonder if he got extra food.
Did he get extra food? Would he share some?
You have to, you know, a professional that's been there before. You always get more. You don't want to go back in line, man. That line can be silly. Or if you get there late, they may be out of food. So
what is it? Is there an optimum time? Is there an optimum time to buy food, like, to get in line?
No, because it's, you don't want to take a chance and say later in the afternoon, because, you know, that one time you go later in the afternoon and they're gone.
So mid-morning?
Yeah, mid-morning.
Okay. All right. Yeah,
just
no.
Just before lunch.
He said it was awesome. His daughter is a surface warfare officer, married a Marine Camo, and then she left for a deployment. Going to join her.
She never eaten there?
No. They ate.
No, but I mean, she's never eaten there. She's in the Navy and never went there.
Well, come on. Nobody knows that. I mean,
that's a secret.
Yeah, that's like secret squirrel stuff. If somebody says, hey, get your map out, look up this place, and go there, you're like, oh, man, this is like local stuff, right? When you hear this is local stuff, that means you have to go.
And I wonder if his experience was the same. As, you know, it's like you get there, was there the 6-7 old, you know, Mexican ladies there that could barely speak English, you know, each one doing their own job. Menu board still the same plastic, you know?
Well, let me see if I can get him on the show tomorrow, and we'll interview him about going there.
Yeah. I'd like to relive that. man, I'm coming back. Every time you bring that up, it brings me back to, like, happiness and joy. Oh.
Hanging out with your grandma.
Yeah, just good food, too, man. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. And I can't believe you haven't gone yet.
You know what? I was going to go. I got a friend of mine, his son got badly injured. In the space of, like, 36 months, this kid, no, not even,
yeah.
In the space of 12 months. Now, he's an athlete, played college football, played football in Europe a little bit, and got cut in the Canadian Football League, won the last cuts, blah, 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 blah. Living in San Diego, I think doing mortgage stuff now.
Right.
He gets diagnosed at his grandmother's funeral. He faints, and they take him in, and he's got a tumor in his brain.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
But the doctors say that, look, I think with, you know, one of those tumors that I think with diet and some other stuff, we can shrink it.
Right.
It's not benign. It's in a part of the brain that we can get to, but we'd rather not go into the brain at all. If we don't have to. So we're going to try to manage it. So he lives with that, right? This tumor in his head. And that experience. Then he suffers from And maybe you know guys who suffer from like night terrors where they have bad dreams and then they'll do something. No, they'll get up in the middle of the night and run or do stuff like that. You know guys like that?
Yeah, I do.
Well, yeah. he dives through a window at his place that he's living, and he falls two stories onto another balcony, and in the course of going through the window, he severs like all the muscles and tendons in his arm and also in his like ankle, you know, and leg.
Right.
So unlike blast and shrapnel wounds, these are all clean slices, right? So they're in the process, you know, they're trying to put him back together, but he's working on, you know, can they reconnect nerves and all the things that happen when you have an injury like that. And so he sends me a text yesterday. He said, when people complain about their easy lives, does it ever drive you crazy? And I thought of you. How do you handle all that? How do you handle all that? I told him, yeah. I said, you have to sometimes you just get up and leave. You know, you could headbutt them. But normally you're going to damage your own head.
Well, and the result is not very.
So, how do you handle that when people, when people are complaining about a pretty easy life, and you're dealing with like real world? And you know what? Maybe part of what made me think about this is our discussion about diving. You don't dive anymore, right?
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I give it up.
Yeah. So, talk to me about. How do you deal with that? You just get up and leave? Do you say anything?
I'm trying to think. Like, you know, it's funny because, so different sides of the spectrum. What you're talking about, I think, is far right. You know, you're talking about life, and those are some pretty tragic events. You know, you got some problems, and people are like, oh, man, I stubbed my toe the other day, and damn, it hurts. You're like, yeah, I'm with you. Or to the left of that spectrum, you know, people are like, oh, shit, it's hot out here. You know, and you're like, yeah, it's okay. I mean, and they're like, look at you. And actually, it was probably just before 4th of July, someone had said, you know, God, it's hot out here. And I said, it's okay. They're like, what? No, man, this is hot. And I said, well, again, it's perspective. And they weren't getting it. And you know, they're like, no, it's hot. And I said, well, okay, here's, let me put it in a little perspective for you. It's warm. It's not comfortable, okay? I'll give you that. But you don't have a helmet on, and you don't have body armor on, and and we, there is shade. You can walk over there and get in some shade, or you can go in the building and get an air conditioner. And you're not drinking from a camelback, because if you forget to blow the water back into the bladder and the water's in the hose and you go to drink it, you're going to get second-degree burns in your mouth. And then there's that whole thing of the ground may be laden with mines, IEDs, that will remove your leg. And if that doesn't get you, you'll get shot. So, if heat is all you're complaining about, yeah, I'm with you. But it's not that hot. And it could be worse. There are guys in uniform suffering their ass off right now in the heat with all of those other concerns in their mind. And again, heat is not really always up there in the top five that you're worried about. You know? Because heat's manageable.
Right.
Or you say, like, you know, you go outside and they're like, oh, man, it's so humid. I'm not saying that I've lived here my whole life, but I've only lived here, you know, two years and then some months. But I haven't felt a humid day yet. People always complain about humidity up here. I'm like, what? Humidity? And they're like, yeah, it's really humid right now. And I'm like, dude, this ain't humid. No way. If you say this is humid, you would flop over and die in some of the places that we've been in. Because when you go to walk, you feel the resistance of the air. You take a deep breath, and you feel the water coming through your nose.
You're underwater. Well, no, hey, you get out of the shower, and you start sweating. You're not even dry.
Yeah. You're not even dry. You're sweating on top of the...
You
take the cold shower, and you can feel your pores already sweating.
Right. You put your uniform on, and it's sticking to you as you're walking. You're like, ugh, this humidity sucks.
Rotting, dying plant material. It's always surrounding you, you know?
So when you encounter that, because your life experience is not typical... I'm sure depending on where you are in your menstrual cycle, some days you handle it better than others. And when you don't handle it, you just get up and absent yourself.
I handle it well always now. I don't say much. I just kind of look at them and listen to them talk. And if they want me to respond, I just kind of keep looking at them. And most people that know me kind of figure it out. And I think you've been there. You've seen, you know, you've had worse.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, yeah.
So then you're pretty good with, people just complaining.
I am now.
You are now. Okay.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm getting better. You know, every day it goes by, I get better and better and better and better. Just kind of, okay, if you just want to vent, go ahead, I'm listening. But don't, you know, I guess what you're looking is what really kind of maybe sets me off is when people start looking for pity. You know, it's one thing to say, man, this sucks, and just let it go. You know, just say it and move on and keep trudging forward. But when they keep dwelling on it, yeah, I think then I think I get a little bit irritated when they start, you know, and that's where I'll throw a little hints out, like, oh, I didn't know the dress code. Well, what do you mean? Well, obviously we're at your pity party, and I didn't know what the dress code was, so I just came the way I was. And they're like, oh, man, okay, well, you know, like, oh, well, I didn't know what to bring you. For what? Oh, the pity party you're throwing right now. Oh, okay. You know?
All right, hold on.
You kind of play it with humor.
You know what? I was like, fighting it over the weekend, kind of interesting. And I was, Colleen and I were hanging out, and I was... somebody I know had like a heart event and went to the hospital, and then they kept saying, you know, thank God, God took care of me, God has a plan, God blah blah blah. And it's just, I don't know, I started reading that and it was kind of grating on my nerves. Oh, so the guy who doesn't get to the hospital or the woman who doesn't get to the hospital, God didn't have a plan for them? Like, what do you mean? Like, you know, God loves me and blah, blah, blah. And I turned the notifications off from it because it just kind of grated me the wrong way in terms. And it's just me, my own issues that I deal with. But it was like, yeah, I don't want to read this. I don't want to hear that anymore. Cause in my opinion, God doesn't have anything to do with it. You know, we're humans. We're down here. You know, he loves you just as much as he loves him or her. Why you get to live and why they don't isn't because God loves you more, you know?
Right.
So,
in fairness, you know, when you're born, there's a plan.
Okay. Okay, but
you live your life out. It's the plan that has already been laid out before you.
But the reason
you
that,
don't know
that
it is,
what was that?
Right.
What was that corporal who had that shrapnel split his weapon and then got killed?
It wasn't a corporal. It was a lance corporal. That was Luke Scott.
Right, Luke Scott. Anyway. I mean, God doesn't love Luke Scott any less than, I mean, there was no reason that he got it and you didn't.
No, and you can't do that, Max.
Right. You and I both know that, but you know how like, you're reading somebody that's kind of saying that?
No,
right?
I know.
You just want to grab and say, it ain't that way, man. It is not that way. He doesn't love you more. You know, he may have a different plan for you, but, you know, but he doesn't love you more. You know, and prayer didn't have anything to do with it. Okay, because Luke Scott probably prayed like everybody else prays, and God doesn't.
More.
Yeah, God doesn't turn his back on that. So lest I go off here,
No.
You know what I mean? It's just, you know, it's just,
no,
something's
I think it,
great on you.
No, and I don't know. And I, that's what, you know, I, like I said, I struggled with that. And, you know, because I was, I got angry. You know, I turned it the other way. We're like, what did he do? Why did he have to pay? You know, like you say, yeah. It's you, Scott. Lou Scott was probably, you know, probably one of the nicest guys that you'd ever meet. You'd instantly befriend this guy. I mean, he was a quiet country kid from, you know, West Virginia, and had a great demeanor. He was pleasant. He was polite. He was friendly. He was respectful. He was everything that was good about being a human. And, you know, like I said, then that happened. You know, Cheek Ramirez, Benito Ramirez, same thing. Jason Morrow, couldn't hurt a fly. You know, Jason Flower, Raymond Flower. You know, again, always put his guys before him. You know, so you can go on and on and on. Why? And I get it. And that's why I played that game where, like, well, it's not that, you're right, God didn't love them any less than anybody else. It's just that's the plan. I mean, and it sucks to say something like that, but, you know, like I said, I believe we all have, you're born, and the day you're born, it's nothing you can do or nothing you can change. It's the outcome is going to be the outcome. However you go or whatever happens to you in your life, that's the way it's going to be.
Right.
Because there are times where I can look back in my life and say, I shouldn't be here today. There's many times. Like, what was I thinking? Yeah, and or man, that was a close call. It could have been easily me. And you can't say, well, you know, and if I look at some of my checkered past, there's no way I was any better than Luke Scott.
Right. Right. The phrase that hops into my head is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they just don't. They haven't lived. They haven't maybe had to question life like, you know, other people have had and dealt with some of the things life has. So their experience is what their experience is. And, you know, but it's not my job. It's not my place to, you know, to unscrew him or to enlighten him, or maybe he believes what he believes. Yeah. It just irritated me. And so I shut it off. We got to take a break, there's a couple emails here about one about going live on Facebook. So we'll start with that. Mike okay. Musselman joins me, also known as the Gunner, from Granbury, Texas, a very proficient guy with Facebook, and you're going to hear more about that coming up next.
Right.
on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug. Home of the world famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
All I can say about militarybyowner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer, but I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, our a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Forty-six on a Monday. We continue.
First email.
Mac, what's the temperature in the Great Lakes? Okay, Gunner, pick a Great Lake. Let's take Michigan. All right, Lake Michigan just north.
No, Michigan always gets. Let's say Lake Erie. Lake Erie always never gets attention. Superior, Michigan. They get all the attention. Let's say Lake Erie.
Okay. All right, what's the temperature in Lake Erie?
Water temperature?
Yes.
Mm, 58.
71.
Not too far off.
Yeah, that's... no.
I think you threw me because maybe Lake Michigan was maybe 68. Lake Erie probably because it's not as deep.
Lake Michigan, 66.
Yeah, see, that's what threw me off.
That's what threw you off. Next question. Hey, when are you guys going to talk baseball? Well, I don't know. We're not talking baseball because Mike didn't want to talk about baseball months
ago. They're on the break right now.
Yeah, there you go.
It's not over with. Let's get towards when they start getting close. When it starts getting close. And
like when?
About 10.
Okay, so we're going to put a moratorium on the random in the middle of the like evening. Hey, anybody got any baseball scores? We're gonna put a moratorium on that text you send out every once in a while.
What?
Exactly.
I'm not the ass in this all the time.
Are you kidding me?
I just said all. Listen, all I said was, what's the significance of number 4? The number 4 right now.
I said it's
all I said.
I said it's Lou Gehrig's number.
Yeah, and there you go. And, but I didn't agree with that because, you know, Lou Gehrig's not a Red Sox.
What was the answer to that?
The answer was anything you wanted, but what I was looking for was that was how many games back the Yankees were.
See, in the middle of the night, like, there's nothing really going on. There's no discussion about baseball. All of a sudden, you get this thing booming into your cell phone. Like, really? Why? And then, like, I'm supposed to allow that kind of aggression to stand.
That was an aggression. That was
total aggression. All right, next email. Could Mike explain how Facebook Live works one more time? Can anybody do it? Are you some kind of special member of Facebook?
No, like I said, click Facebook.
Okay.
Go to Facebook. Open up your profile. You know, like you're looking at your stuff.
Okay, hold on.
Right?
I'll do this. So I click on Facebook. Okay. All right.
You're looking at your page or whatever they call it, right?
The feed. People are posting on it. Now what do I do?
Okay, so where it says, what's on your mind?
Yeah.
You click that, and then it gives you photo or video,
right.
Live video, check-in, feeling, activity sticker, or tag people, or act, you know, all the way down.
Okay.
So you can click live video.
Okay.
You come up to your camera, and then you hit the button live.
So then there. Or,
and then you can select privacy there too. You can say my friends.
This doesn't have to go to the world.
Like I don't want this person in there. That's actually pretty cool. I didn't see that one before.
Really?
Friends, except that person. Because that's what I'm FaceTiming about. No. Or you can go public. And the notifications on or off. So if you select, some friends and followers will receive notifications when you send us. So, like, if you go live, depending on someone's following you, and I don't know how to do that either, but they'll get a tag that says, hey, Mike Meyer is now going live.
So that's how I get the message that, hey, Mike Musselman is now live.
Yeah.
Which, for whatever reason, always seems to be relatively interesting. And so that's what So when that woman streamed that shooting, the aftermath of that shooting in St. Paul, that's what she did. She said, "Oh, let me stream this live."
Yeah. Hang on a second, officer. Don't bleed out, sweetie. Here we go.
Yeah. And you stay put in the back seat.
Yeah. Okay, everybody, quiet. I'm going live. All right, go ahead, Ami.
He was found.
They're bleeding out for me.
He was found not guilty.
And
pretty amazing. You know, the threshold to convict an officer when they talk about what was in their minds, pretty tough to convict an officer. And you and I both talked. I mean, you can hear the panic in that guy's voice when right afterwards and the aftermath of it. And you and I talked about high stress training and you know, how you got to get guys, you know, men and officers through that on a regular basis to exercise those muscles, because that is a perishable skill, you know. And when you hear somebody reacting like that, you can hear that not in control. And then when they go in front of a jury and talk about, this is what I saw, this is what I said, this is what, you know, this is what I interpreted that to mean. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. It's pretty tough to convict somebody when you're hearing it from them, and they'll admit that, yeah, I was scared, blah, 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 blah. But it seems to me kind of foolish when they charge them with, like, first-degree murder and stupid stuff like that. I mean, if anything, it would be manslaughter, I think, but it doesn't seem like they even convict on that, because, you know, is it unreasonable for a police officer to assume these things given what he saw or she saw and given what as they kind of portray it to the jury? And it seems like has there been one convicted yet?
That's a good question.
None that I've seen.
I think there has. I don't think the news. That's not good news. The cop gets it in the end.
Yeah.
That's good news because is cops are acquitted, because that has the potential to burn a city down. That's viewers. Right?
Right. No, you're right. You're right. It's just...
Yeah. Hey, have you ever seen... I just sent you a video link. It is the funniest little quick short video ever I've seen in a long time. And I sent you to on with the group, so Kurt and Rob and Luke and you, and well, I use code words, Mac, Rudy, Big Cat, and Montana Man. I sent you guys the link. It's a real quick short video, and it's a guy describing how to open Velcro without having that sound, the ripping sound. Velcro. Have you ever seen that?
No, say that again. You kind of broke up. About Velcro.
It's a guy showing you how to open Velcro without having that Velcro sound. You know, because when you open Velcro, it's really quiet, you know, it's like a turn sound. This guy teaches you how to do it without having the sound, and you can't hear the Velcro.
Oh, really? Is it good?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah, play it. It's 45 seconds. Can you play it right now?
Did you text it to me?
Yeah.
I don't know that I can get a text. Well, no, I can. I do know that. I can't. Can you email that to me? If you email that to me, I can play it. I got the text. I can't download it. Well, hold on. Let me see. Let me try one more little trick here. Stand by.
Let me. Do you see it?
Well, that's not the issue. The issue is I turned my Wi-Fi off last night, and not really sure why I did that. It must have been slow, and I just used my digital network. And so while I was doing that, now that I'm on the phone with you, trying to download the attachment doesn't work unless I'm on Wi-Fi and have a secondary means of downloading. You with me? And so I just turned the Wi-Fi on. Now it's downloading. What am I going to hear?
It's 45 seconds. The guy explains how to open Velcro without that ripping sound. And it works. It's freaking amazing.
Hey, if I get anybody, one more person putting on Facebook, some guy is trying to, you know, some guy is a fraud, blah, 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 I'm going to scream, okay? Let me just give you some advice. If you get somebody that's one of your contacts who's recontacting you to become friends again on Facebook, that is normally, unless they've lost their phone or something like that, or something crazy, that is somebody who's stolen their pictures, created a second identity, right, and is now trying to friend all their friends to try to steal personal information. Okay? That's what that is. So if I get an invitation from Mike this afternoon that says, hey, Mike Musselman wants to be friends on Facebook, do not friend that person without investigating it, okay? Because then what they do is you've given them access to your family, you know, a lot of time your family photos and stuff like that, where you live, all that kind of stuff. Don't do that.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, it's happened to me on probably half dozen different occasions where, you know, somebody who the reason you'll know is their contacts will be very few. Their pictures will be very few other than a profile picture, but it happens all the time. But for some reason, I've gotten it at least a half dozen times. So-and-so is trying to steal information on Facebook. All right, I got it.
Okay.
Go ahead. You just said
45 seconds long. Go ahead.
You sent it to me on email?
Yeah.
There's a loan officer opening in Ada, Minnesota, if you're looking for a job up there, Mike.
No, not.
You're not? You ever been to Ada?
Yeah, no. Nope.
I haven't got it yet.
This guy's awesome.
I used to, when I was teaching at the basic school, the video.
You trying to queue this thing up?
It says I got it. All right, hold on one second. Stand by. You know, lieutenants would buy all these crazy gizmos, and they'd have their watch covered with some Velcro strap in the middle of the night.
Yeah. So then, if you're TBS, tell your son to teach his students this.
So what happens would be like, why do you have that thing that makes so much noise every time you need to look at your watch?
Yeah. Or a Velcro wallet.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, sir, I don't want somebody to be able to see my watch. Hey, bro, if somebody can see the illumination on your watch, you've got a bigger problem than, all right, you're about to have sex with somebody, okay? Just so you know. Well, sir, what do you mean? All right, here's the Gunners little video that you like so much.
Okay, I want to show you a little secret a guy taught me from the American Rangers. And he always said, you know,
Who are the American Rangers?
I don't know.
Is that the U.S. Army?
In a tactical situation, the sound of Velcro, you can hear it a mile away. And everybody knows that sound of Velcro. It's I'll show you. So here we have a Velcro pouch. And this is the sound that gives you away in the tactical situation. And so he taught me a method of opening the Velcro so that if you do it right, no one will hear the Velcro. Okay, and it's real fast. And so the Velcro, I've got it on as best as I can get it on. And this is what he taught me. Ah!
Really?
It works, man. It works.
You had me go through all that for that?
Oh, man, I love that video.
So you just reeled me in? You reeled me in?
And I landed you, and I'm taking a photograph of you right now on the pier with the scale. So that video, if the people are kind of not understanding what that was about, it shows a guy, and he's got, like, this woolly pulley sweater on, and he's like, describing how to open Velcro because it makes that tearing, ripping sound. And then at the end, he goes, okay, you got this really, really fast. And he has the piece of Velcro. And just as he goes to rip it, he screams, ah! As he opens it, you don't hear the Velcro. Right?
Right.
And it worked. Yeah, and I saw that the first time. I was laughing my ass off.
All right, so tomorrow, I can't believe you just did that. All right. That was stupid. All right, tomorrow we'll get Ohio Man, and you'll get to interview him about Las Cuantas Milpas.
Oh yeah, let's get him on there.
All right, we'll see if he
find out what he had.
Yeah, what he had, and get his thoughts on your recommendation. How's that?
Yeah. Was I on the mark there?
All right. Thanks for the visit today. Good luck with your weather.
Yeah, I will. You have a good day, man.
All right, man. I'll talk to you. That is the one and only Michael Musselman. That'll do it on a Monday. My thanks in order of appearance are John Ubaldi. You'll hear him momentarily. Don't you know? And we're going to talk about G20 summit. We'll talk about water temperature, which seemed to dominate the show today. We'll also talk about can you have a foreign policy in this country without some kind of congressional buy-in, whether it be a resolution or, you know, whatever you want to call it. Because without that, our policies gets left to the wolves, yes, and it's subject to political change every 4 years. How can you do that? The answer is easy. You can't do that. So you'll hear from him momentarily. Also, my thanks to a guy who was an incredible leader in the Marine Corps, by the name of Mike Etor, and great Marine Corps career. Now the founder of Fidelis Leadership Group, ETTORE. He's an executive leadership coach, and a great guy, and down to common sense, down to earth, New Jersey guy. There you have it. So, my thanks to Mike for coming on. Also, the Gunner, always interesting. So, if you're looking for instructions on how to go live, absolutely check it. Check out the Gunner. Mac, will you post the link to the stupid Velcro video? I will. I'll include the link in the show segment. You can check it out. All right. With all of that done on a Monday, let me tell you what we're doing tomorrow. Tomorrow. Hold on. Let me get my little car. Chris Woodbridge is going to join us. We're going to talk about Marine Corps Gazette for the month of July. Grant Newsham will join us. We're going to talk about North Korea and some of the stuff that got said last week, and where does that leave us? China's not helping. United States ratcheting up pressure. What's going to happen? And then we'll do Las Cuantas Milpas interview. So tomorrow will be a fun. And then on Wednesday, the Marshall Program, the Marshall Plan, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that a little bit. And then writer, former Marine Infantry officer by the name of Scott Hewson going to join us. Talk about transition, get his thoughts on leadership. So it should be a fun week. Don't miss it. Anyway, after being gone a week, fun doing the program. Believe it or not, I miss doing it. So have a great afternoon. John Ubaldi coming up momentarily on a Monday. All Marine Radio out.